And back here on the Mighty 690 here on this Wednesday morning. Excuse me. Goodness, I do have stuff in the throat as well as I've been sneezing a whole bunch this morning. We're joined by Keith Martin with the K-State Research and Extension Wildcat District. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Again, a little scratchy, a little stuffy. I've sneezed quite a bit this morning, so hey.
But I kind of had that, and I think I'm just about over that. I gave just took some... I'll steroids for a while to open up my airways.
Yeah, there you go. Helped out a little bit.
I guess it did, but it seems to be better. It's a long process, unfortunately.
Well, I interrupted Deb about six or seven times with a big loud sneeze this morning. So,
made her keep her practice on keeping her focus.
Yeah,
I guess.
Exactly. You gotta keep her in check, certainly.
That's for sure. Oh, there's no doubt. So.
Well, it's solo today, Keith Martin. So it's just you and I speaking.
You bet.
Today. All right, let's get on through it. So. I know we've got this thing coming up this weekend. I think it's pretty neat. I actually believe I have a flyer over here. But if you kind of want to start us off with just the basic details, and then we'll dive into it.
Yeah, we are in conjunction with the Cherokee County Extension and also the Southwind Extension District. We're hosting, I guess you could say now, our second annual grazing school. It's set to be held this Saturday, October the 27th. It's going to be held at the Edna Community Senior Center, which is located at 109 South Labette Street in Edna. And good news, I actually did put it in Google Maps, and it takes you to the right spot before. We've done
Thank
that
goodness.
A couple of times and end up on the other side of town. Fortunately, Edna is not a very large community, but it is going to be at the Edna Community Center. We'll get underway with registration at 9 o'clock. We have some speakers from Oklahoma, Kansas, and also the Missouri Extension System. We're going to get underway again with registration at 9. Following that, Chris Petty and Dale Hillwig, who are agents in the Southwind and Cherokee County, respectively. We're going to be talking about reviewing ranch goals and also some of the resources that try to come up with an inventory of some of the resources that you have to meet those goals. Then we'll have Brian Pugh, who's a Northeast Area Agronomist out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, is going to be talking about grazing's effect on plant growth and development. Then I'll be talking about some of the factors that affect animal intake. After that, we'll have a lunch, and then following the lunch, we're going to have a farm tour of a ranch here near Edna. We'll be going out and looking at some of the things they're doing. They have a rotational grazing system. We'll have an opportunity to view that. Then we'll come back and with a couple of wrap-up topics. One will be Brian Pugh will kind of talk. We'll talk about matching your forage management to your herd. So basically, he's going to work on developing kind of a year-round plan to have as much forage as possible in front of your cattle. We realize that there's going to be times you're going to have to feed hay, maybe feed some purchase supplements, but the goal is to maximize the amount of forage. In other words, letting the cow do most of the work and letting us hopefully manage the grass and letting the cattle do the harvesting. And then Wesley Tucker, who's an ag economist in Missouri, is going to talk about the economics of different grazing systems. We should wrap up hopefully somewhere around 3:30 in the afternoon. There will be a cost of $20, which will cover your meal and also some of the materials that you will get. So, again, the grazing school is going to be this Saturday at the Edna Community Senior Center. It gets underway at 9, should wrap up around 3:30, and I think maybe one of the highlights may even be the tour. I know last year we went on a couple tours, and people really, really liked that as well because it just kind of gives you an idea. Kind of puts some of the things we're talking about into action, hopefully.
Yeah, and with it being this Saturday, is there? Do you register there?
Yeah,
do you register through the
thank
phone?
You.
Do
you? We would have liked to have known already for the meal count, but it's still not too late to call, and you just pay at the door. You can contact probably the easiest way would just be to contact our Altamont office at 620-784-5337. And we can get you on the list and make sure that when it is time for lunch at 11:30, we have plenty of food.
So. Yeah, yeah. And most of the time, someone thinks paying $20 is an issue. But in reality, you know, you get all of these great speakers. You get to go check something out. And that's kind of what I wanted to ask you as well is, you know, have these guys been doing this grazing technique
right.
for a long time?
They've been working on it for probably 3 to 4 years. Okay. They've been working on developing their, you know, on rotational grazing. Well, the thought there is to give, to concentrate more animals on a smaller area and then to move them to different areas of the pasture and leave that other pasture to rest and recover. We know that it takes grass to grow grass, so if you can graze them down to about 4 inches in height, then when you move off, that grass is going to recover, and hopefully about every 30 days, 20 to 30 days, you can be in there, or give it maybe 30 days rest and then come back and graze it again. And the result is hopefully a healthier plant. A healthier plant hopefully is going to produce more forage, and that's kind of the thought of a rotational grazing is you're not allowing the animal to just continually, if the animal has the option, they will just continually graze the regrowth, or in other words, the tender grass coming back, and leave the other grass in the pasture. Mm-hmm. So the thought is to reduce their selectivity just a little bit so that they're grazing more of the grass, but then more importantly, not allowing them to graze that regrowth until it gets at least four leaves, because we know once the plant gets about four leaves, then it starts rebuilding the root reserves of that plant. If you're just continually clipping it off when it's really short, the root reserves of that plant or the carbohydrates in the roots are depleted, so you don't have as healthy of a plant.
Yeah, it's almost a mild controlling of the animal. And I was going to ask you as well, does it affect it to have those random patches of short and long, and then compared to, as like you're saying, we just put them here, we let them down, get it to the correct growth, and
well,
then we move
them? The main thing is, if anytime you reduce selectivity of the livestock, if you reduce selectivity too much, you can reduce performance a little bit. Mm. So you're trying to balance the selectivity with the plant health.
Okay.
So
that
makes sense. That's kind of the idea.
Sweet. Well, we do have a caller on the line from Keith Martin, which, in fact, if you have a question for Keith this morning regarding grazing at 620-251-6909, that would be the line to get on the program this morning. We do have someone on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Keith?
Yeah, it's not necessarily about grazing, but it's about a hay pasture with poverty grass taking over.
Yeah.
Jacob Weber said a couple weeks ago that you waited 2 weeks after the first frost to burn it so the seeds didn't spread. Was the frost we had last week a hard enough frost to go ahead and burn that after the 2 weeks?
Probably. The thing is, what you don't want to do is this in a native hay meadow, or is it in what you don't want to do for that native grass is if you would to burn it, you would want to do it either when there's plenty of time for the grass to regrow a little bit, or when it's not going to try to regrow, because if the grass tries to regrow right now, it's going to draw on the root reserves of the plant, so you're going to have a slightly healthier plant. So I would wait just a little bit if you can. The other option would be to try to maybe burn in say 30 to 45 days prior to a frost. You could do that as well. The main thing you're trying to do is just reduce the seed production. Now that alone is not going to get rid of the poverty grass. That's just one factor in getting rid of poverty grass. Poverty grass is a symptom of low grass vigor. That low grass vigor could come from late. Is this a hay meadow or in a pasture, sir?
No, it's a hay meadow.
Yeah, if it's a hay meadow, some other things you could do is just try to continually cut it by July the 1st. If you wanted to put a small amount of fertilizer on after the plant break dormancy in May, something like 30 pounds of nitrogen and 20 pounds of phosphorus, that might help boost up the health of the plant just a little bit. It's going to be a long-term process, though, to get rid of the poverty grass, and burning it alone is not going to do that, but it's a combination of lots of different things. So I guess to answer your question, I would probably wait just a little bit before you burn, because what you don't want to do is burn and have the plant try to regrow and just get some little grass up and it doesn't reach that four leaf stage, or in other words, it doesn't get 4 or 5 inches tall, because if it starts regrowing, you know, it's drawing on the roots because it doesn't have enough leaf to produce photosynthesis to start growth. So I would wait a little bit later, or maybe next year you may want to consider possibly burning it, say, for example, September the 1st, September the 15th, something like that. It would do the same thing, because you're going to set that broom sedge plant back enough that it's not going to produce much seed.
Okay. All right, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the question.
We appreciate your call this morning. And if anyone has a call at 251-6909, we'll catch you in the 8 o'clock hour. For now, though, we do have to run off to the top of the hour news break. Keith Martin with us with the K-State Research and Extension District. We'll come back. I'm sure he's got some questions that people have been blowing him up about. Again, we got a weather break, news break. We'll be back with Keith Martin after this.